2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1.
Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you.
Now, the Saint Paul says, finally, brethren. That means he's closing the book. He's closing his letter. He's closing his chapter. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us means he's talking about Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, and all other ministers. And if you remember, he says in the beginning, I always pray for you. So if the minister is praying for you, then you should pray for him. So that's what he's saying now. I'm asking you, brethren, pray for me. It's a humbling spirit. When church prays for the pastor, pastor can be blessed. While we were praying, you were praying for the pastor. And that's what the Saint Paul is saying. Finally, brethren, pray for us. There are many people when they tell you, please pray for me. And you say, okay, I'll pray for you. But you forget. And you don't pray. So praying for each other, that's the will of God. And what he's saying, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. It's very difficult to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Devil always hinders the word of God. Many people do not like to hear the word of God. You can tell them a story, what movie you saw last night. You can tell them what fight you saw last night. You can tell them about the who won the games and things like that. They want to hear a scary story or anything they want to hear. As soon as you say Jesus or something about God, they don't want to hear. So that's why we need to pray. When we start praying, the demonic forces will cease giving us problem. So the prayer has more power and more strength. We can fight the devil by the name of Jesus Christ. And so he says, we should have freedom to preach the word of God. Not only that, he should have courage to preach the word of God. There are very few people can come to the pulpit and preach. They might have a PhD degree. They might have a beautiful language and English and everything. But everyone is not bold enough to come to the pulpit and preach. It needs the grace of God. It needs the power of God. So here he's saying, I want you to pray for me so we can freely preach the word of God and glorify even as it is with you. So he's saying, we came to you, we preached the word of God, you received it, and we can see fruits in your life. So same way when we go somewhere and we preach the word of God, it should be same way fruitful like you received it. Verse 2.
And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith.
Now he's saying, why are you praying? You pray because there are so many unreasonable and wicked people and unbelievers in this world. People, everybody is not a believer. Now somebody says, what does it mean, believer and unbelievers? Now if anyone believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that person is a believer. Now some other person said, but I believe in God and I believe in this and I believe in that. They can believe anything they want. But we don't call them believers. Only person we call believer, the person who is born again, child of God, receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that person is a believer. People can believe anything. We don't call them believers. We call them unbelievers or heathen. So he says, there are people in this world, they are unreasonable people and wicked people. And so please pray that we should be delivered from their hands or their tactic. Because he says everyone doesn't have faith. When you have faith of God, or faith in God, or faith of Christ, the Word of God says in book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Once we are born again children of God, our mind is filled with the Word of God and filled with the God Himself. So we always thinking about God. So He says, when you're looking unto Jesus. Many people do not have faith, but we have faith in God, faith of God, and faith in Christ Jesus. We should be thankful to God that we are born again children of God. Verse 3.
But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil.
He says God is faithful, even though sometimes we are not faithful. God is faithful. And what God will do, he said, God will establish you and keep you from evil. Now somebody says, then that's God's job. I don't have to do anything. Automatically God will, you know, establish me and keep me from evil. Who is evil one? Evil one is the devil. Devil has no power over you. Once you plead the blood of Jesus Christ and you are fenced with the blood of Jesus Christ, you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, devil has no power. He cannot even come and touch you. But you have to be in the blood. You remember there was a blood sign on the doorpost and the death angel came and could not kill anybody. Wherever there was no blood sign, firstborn was killed. But the people who had the blood sign, devil could not touch. So once you stay in the blood, then devil cannot touch you. Automatically, God is not going to protect you. You have to be in the Lord. When you are in the Lord and you take the name of the Lord, devil has no power. Verse 4.
And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you.
Then what he said? And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you both do and will do the things which are commanded you. Who commanded? Paul. Paul came and taught them. And he says, now you are doing what we told you to do. But that's not enough. What you have to do? In future also you do the same thing. So he said, you are doing it and will do. So many people said, I did it, but now I'm not going to do it anymore. That is not a Christian life. Christian life is to continually doing the will of God. You cannot say, oh, 5 years I was a good Christian, but now I don't think I want to be like that. That's what he said, you are doing it and will do it. We keep on doing until Christ comes. There is no stop in Christian life. Some people say, oh, I went to church last Sunday. I cannot go today. That's enough. Once in a month will be fine. Can you eat the food once a month? No. If you eat once a month, you might die. The spiritual food is the same way. If you go to church once a month, you're spiritually starving. So the Word of God is saying, now you're doing the will of God, but I want you to keep on doing it. Okay, verse 5.
And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ.
Now what he's trying to say, when you're doing the will of God, continuously doing the will of God, you cannot do the will of God without you love God. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will do my commandments. Why people disobey commandments of God? Because they don't love the Lord. Why children do not obey the parents? Because they don't love their mother and father. If they love their mother and father, then they will obey them. They say, oh, mom, I love you. Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. Okay, if you love me, do this. Oh, no, I cannot do that. You don't love me then. The same way Jesus said, if you love me, then you obey me. That's what he is trying to say. If you really give your hearts to God, then the love of God will be in you. And if you love the Lord, then you will be wanting Jesus Christ to come back. If you hate Jesus, who wants Jesus to come back? So we don't want Jesus to come in. But when you love him, we want him to come. The Lord directs your hearts into the love of God. We want your hearts to draw to God. And your heart is filled with God. And who is Jesus? Jesus, the Son of God. When you love the Lord, you will love his Son. There are people, they love God and they hate his Son. God so loved the world and he gave his Son, then you will love his Son also. So that's what the Word of God says. If you hate the Son, you cannot love Father. If you love the Son, then you will have Father and Son. So that's the way Christianity is. So he is saying here, if you love God, then you will be waiting patiently for Christ. But if you don't love God, then you're not going to love his Son also. So we have to believe our God is a loving God, and our God sent his Son. He came, died on the cross of Calvary, and he redeemed us, and he promised us that I will go to heaven, prepare a place for you, and I'll come back. And then he said, when I come back, I will take you with me. So we should have that kind of desire. This world is not good enough for us. You might have $1 billion in the bank. You might have a beautiful mansion. You might have 10,000 servants and big factories. But they're all going to vanish away. Amen. They are not going to be there forever. So that means we are going to leave this place and go. So Jesus Christ is coming for us. So we have to wait, what he said, wait patient. If you don't have patience, you are not going to wait for him. Verse 6.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us.
Here is saying, we came to you, we preached the gospel, and many people received it, but there are someone we heard is not walking according to the word of God. He says, according to tradition, which you received from us. Now somebody said, what tradition is talking about? He's saying, the foundational teaching I gave it to you. The teaching of Jesus Christ I gave it to you. And you are not listening to the word of God. And some people, when they do not receive the word of God, and they walk disorderly, or they walk not according to the word of God. When they walk like that, what happens? The word of God says they can destroy other people's faith also.
Amen.
If somebody doesn't like Christianity, they will try to pull you out of Christianity. Just think that you newly got saved and you said, I'm a born-again Christian, I go to church. And they said, oh, you were Jewish, you were Catholic, you were this and you were that. Who told you all these things? Why are you running after Christianity? What I'm trying to say, once you know the truth, you should be following the truth. No matter what. But he's saying there are some people, some brothers, some sisters or somebody walking in your church disorderly. Means they are not walking according to the word of God. So what he's saying, withdraw yourself. What does it mean? Stay away from those people. Otherwise they will mislead you, misguide you, and destroy you. Other day, one person called me, and he starts saying, Pastor Peter, what's wrong? If somebody smokes or drinks, and if that person has a good talent, why don't you allow that person to play guitar or play this synthesizer? What's the problem? I said, sir, this is not a bar. This is not a social club. This is the church. We have to live a holy life. When somebody stands here and plays the guitar or plays these things and goes out and starts smoking, somebody says, what church you go to? International Christian Fellowship. Does your pastor allow this? Oh yeah. Then pretty soon this church will be a bazaar. This church will be like a smoking house. Now there is some country I heard, yesterday I heard. They said, just like America, we are going to tell the people not to smoke in any buildings. And when they say don't smoke, now they got a coffee house. Now they said, we are going to go to coffee house, and what we're going to do, not only cigarette, we are going to smoke marijuana, and they making that business like a smoke house. And so now people start saying, okay, we cannot smoke in other places. Now we have freedom to smoke in the coffee house. Finally, now they start thinking, we are going to completely close the coffee house. So point I'm making, guitar player smoke, then the synthesizer person smokes, and the piano player smokes, and everybody starts smoking, and they go and say, I go to International Christian Fellowship, and we smoke. Pretty soon they will be sitting there and start smoking in the church. What the Word of God is saying, if somebody like that comes to your church and whispers to you, you know what, pastor is wrong, he doesn't have love, he doesn't allow people to smoke and drink, we don't want to go to that church. What do? Stay distance from that person. He says, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. We want unity in holiness. People say, why can't we unite with all churches? What, all churches are not believers? They said, oh, everybody is a believer. Oh, yeah? If they are believer, why don't they obey the commandment of God? Everybody doesn't baptize people immersively. Then how can you say they are, you are the same? The Word of God says, how can you walk together if you're not agreed? So we cannot say every church is the bride of Christ. So he says, if anyone in your church disobey, stay away. Verse 7.
For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you.
So what he's trying to say, we came to you and we set a good example. So we were with you and we set a good example, so you follow us, imitate us, do whatever we did, because we were a good example to you. And the Christ is our example. St. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. If the Paul is not following Christ, we are not supposed to follow Paul. So we have to follow the minister who follows Christ. If that minister giving some kind of teaching which is not based on the Word of God, then we don't follow that person. We follow, that's why St. Paul says, follow us because we gave a good example. Verse 8.
Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you.
Now he said when we came there to Thessalonica, he said we were good example. One example, he said, when we came there, we did not come begging food from you. And we did not bother you about food. There are some people, they go to somebody's house when somebody's eating a food. Especially in India, when we have a lunchtime and somebody comes without invited, we will force that person to eat with us. Even though he said, oh, I just said, no, sir. You came in the lunchtime, you came in the dinner time, you have to eat with us. And somebody said, oh, that's a good custom. Let's go to the Pastor Peter house exactly the dinner time, exactly the lunchtime. He will give us a food. He said, we didn't do that. We came to you and we did not ask you bread. Not only that, we did not charge you anything. Means, oh, I came and preached you. Now 1 hour I gave you the counseling, give me $100. There is one person called me, he says, Pastor Peter, come and preach for us. I said, okay, what is your charge? How much you charge to preach? I said, sir, freely given, freely give. I do not charge to preach. I do not charge for preaching. I do not charge for water baptism. I do not charge for giving communion. I do not charge for performing marriages. I do not charge for doing your funeral. Everything is free. No charge. Why? Because freely given, freely give. So he says, I did not charge you anything, and I was working among you. I said in good example. Verse 9.
Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us.
We did not charge you anything, not because we don't have power. Do you know the pastor, bishop, and pope has a lot of power? Whatever they say, people do. He said, we didn't use our power to get something from you. We start giving to you spiritual matters. Verse 10.
For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
He said it before, and he's saying it again. He said, we told you when we were with you, if somebody doesn't work, that person should not eat. Somebody says, it's very cruel. This Paul is very cruel. He's not saying if the person doesn't have a job, he should not eat. Now somebody was working and he laid off. Hey, you're not working, you cannot eat today. That's not the one he's saying. There are people who do not have a desire to work. Some people, they don't want to do anything. They don't want to work, and they are burdened to mom and dad. They don't want to go to work. They don't want to go to school. And they want to eat by force. I am your child. You brought me into this world. Now you feed me. You can only feed the babies. But when you are grown up, you go to work. But there is no force for ladies to work. If they're taking care of their children, training them. But if the lady said, okay, I'm watching my TV, do whatever you want, don't bother me, that is not a good lady. If you're staying home, you take care of your children. Your children are not supposed to do anything wrong. You train them in the Lord. Otherwise, the St. Paul says, if you don't work, you better not to eat. What he's trying to say, die, indirectly. He's saying, don't eat means what? If you don't eat, you're going to die eventually, right? When we are alive, we have something to do. Do it right. And some children, if they don't have a job, and you say, okay, I'm going to find a job for you. But if they don't want to do the job, what does it mean? Oh, your son is not working. My son is working. He's very busy. He's working with the Lord. He's working with my computer. He's working. He has a lot of work. Not only that, he's not even paid what he's doing. If he goes and works somewhere else, he will be making $50,000. But he's working for me. So don't say, Pastor Peter is saying to us, his son doesn't work. The work he's saying, people do not do anything. They just sit there, watch anything they want to watch. And which is not good. They're hurting themselves. The worldly way says, garbage in, garbage out. What you're putting in here is going to come from your mouth. And so the children, good family children, they're not supposed to say foul language, but they watch this TV and watch all these things, and then someday you punish and you slap them, they will use the language what they heard. And they will talk back to you. Why is happening? What goes in their ear, it comes out of their mouth. So, the Word of God is saying, we have to learn to do the right thing. Now, somebody is looking for a job and looking for a job, not getting, it's not his fault. But if person sitting there, somebody says, you know, you want a job? This is the job. This is the job. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Those kind of person call lazy. They don't want to do anything, but read a little bit further what they do.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybody.
They are not working, but they are busybody. What do you mean busybody? They are minding somebody's business. They are gossiping. Hey, do you know what my husband was saying today? Oh, my husband was saying this. Oh, this man. You know, I went somewhere of vacation and that man was excellent. Okay. That's what the gossiping is all about. Busybody. Telling them what wrong thing they should be doing. And whatever they're doing right, they are not doing okay. That's called busybody. We can't keep on going in somebody's business. They even don't ask your opinion. Keep on giving your opinion because you have nothing to do. You know, doing the Lord's work is the best job in the world. But many people do not want that job. They say, oh, that's too boring. I want to climb the mountains. Some people want to bungee ride or whatever they do. They want to do something exciting and they jump and they die. Yeah. They jump from the mountain and head down, jump in the water. What happened? Broken neck? So he said, when you are not Christian or not doing the things of God and doing wrong thing, you will be destroying many lives. Busybodies. You are not going to hell alone. You take many people with you. And that's what the people are doing. And some people are born again and they don't want to take people with them. So I want to go to heaven. I don't want my neighbor to come because he's a troublemaker. We want to go to heaven and we want to bring many people with us to go to heaven. Every day when you're working here and talking to people, talk about Jesus. Are you saved? No. Do you have any need? Yes. Why don't you come to our church? We can pray for you. God can bless you. So what I'm trying to say, don't be a busybody destroying other people. Verse 12.
Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread.
Now he's saying again, we are telling you and commanding you and warning you. Other day one brother told me, you know what? Somebody saw me and they said, hey, you are changed. I like to go to your church. Why? Because they saw this person was doing something wrong. Now he's doing right. Maybe he's going to some good church. So people should see your life and wants to follow you. You have to give good example to other people. Live a good Christian quiet life, not miserable and troublesome life. Verse 13.
But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing.
Now again he's saying, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Means don't get tired doing good. People say, reading Bible all the time, that's boring. Bible is not boring. If you really born again child of God, you will be hungry for the word of God. There was a man of God, he read the Bible on his knees 500 times. And he said, I read the Bible on my knees 500 times and I'm not still satisfied. I still want to read and read and read. Any other book you read, a story book you read once or twice, I know that story. But the Bible is not a storybook. Bible is the life-giving book. Amen. People say, oh, we have a problem in this and that. Why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you pray? There is a saying, the family that prays, what? Together. Stays together. You don't want to pray. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to go to church. And then you have a problem in the family. Pray. Read the Bible. Study the Word. And God's word will speak to you, give you peace and joy. He says, but brethren, be not weary in well-doing. When you're doing something good, don't get tired of doing. Keep on doing. He said, pray without what? Ceasing. That means don't pray and say, I'm tired of praying. Don't say like that. Pray continuously. Read the Bible continuously. Go to church continuously. Do good things continuously. Do not get weary and tired doing good things. Verse 14.
And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed.
Again he is saying, we came to you, we preached the word of God, we wrote to you the letters, and we heard that there is somebody in your church or among you not listening. He says, withdraw from that person one time. Now he's saying, do not have even company with that person. If he doesn't want to listen to the word of God for 10 years in the church, he says, stay away. You don't keep company with those kind of people. And somebody says, how about if they are relatives? And if you come, you're going to with me to church. And second thing, when you're coming, I cannot bring cigarette or any drinking for you. When you come to my house is a smoke-free house. Would you like to come to my house like that? Yes. If not, stay wherever you are. Or don't you think we should allow that person to come and listen? Yes. Don't listen when he's smoking, throwing smoke on your face, and you keep on listening and talking to that person. No, sir. When I'm talking, could you keep the cigarette away for a minute until I finish? People say, didn't Jesus have the company with the sinners? Yes. But he did not commit sin. When the lady was bought, when she came to Christ, he said, where are those people who tried to kill you? Oh, they left. So, I'm not condemning you either. Oh, then she said, oh, he gives me license now. I can go and do all other things. He said, but sin no more. Up to now, whatever you have done, I forgive you.
Yes, that's right.
But don't continuously keep on doing this. So that's the Christianity. People take something, oh, Jesus went to sinner's house. Jesus went to, didn't say anything to the lady. He always said to people, sin no more. He did not give license to anybody. Zacchaeus was the sinner, right? He was the tax collector, cheating people. When Jesus Christ was going and Zacchaeus went to the tree, top of the tree, and he wanted to see Jesus. So Jesus saw his heart. Hey, he's craving for me. He said, Zacchaeus. He said, hey, somebody knows my name here. How did Jesus come to know me? Who told Jesus about me? Jesus knows every one of you. So he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house. He would have said, don't come to my house. There is a liquor bottle. There is a smoking. Let me go and clean up my house and then come. He said, no, I'm coming. When Jesus went to that house, what happened? That house completely cleaned up. And he said, what I was doing, cheating people, I'm giving fourfold. And I want to do the right thing. So when Jesus comes to your heart has to be changed. He comes in what? Twinkling of an eye. We don't have time to prepare. This is the time to prepare ourselves. Do not keep the company with that person. Now somebody says, there was like one family. And if one person does something and they don't keep the company with that man, nobody will keep the company. And then he will be miserable. He will be shameful. So he will come and say, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like that. And I want to come back. That's what the problem was. But now, I don't want to say even what kind of church they make. They have satanic churches. They have churches with evil defiling their bodies, that kind of churches. And all kinds of churches they make a name church. Why? Because we have religious freedom. In the name of religion, they can make any church. But in those days, they didn't have 10,000 different kinds of churches, very few. So when that person is excommunicated from the church, nobody will do any association with him. Then that person will come back and say, I'm sorry, I cannot live alone. I have no friends, I have nothing. And so that's what he's saying. But today we cannot do that. Only today we can tell people, please, live a clean and holy life. So when somebody says to you, don't do that, otherwise I'll not keep a company, don't say, who cares? If you don't want to talk to me, that's okay with me. I have other friends. That's why St. Paul is saying, we doing this not to harm that person. Let that person know we love you. Let's read the following verse 15.
Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Don't count that person as your enemy, but encourage him, warn him, show him the love that I'm a brother. Brother, I'm saying this because for your good. That pastor loves you. That's why he's telling you. I am saving your life from hellfire. That's what I'm telling you. If there are churches, do anything you want. We love you. And they say, unconditional love. And they say, God loves unconditionally. What God is that? My God doesn't love unconditionally. My God says, if you want to go to heaven, believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you give your heart to Jesus, then you go to heaven. Not unconditionally. Whole world, come to heaven. There is a condition Jesus, God puts. There is no unconditional love. God says, if you commit sin, you ask forgiveness. If you don't ask forgiveness, automatically, no forgiveness. There is a condition. So each and everything, God does everything conditionally. But some people took something, love your children unconditionally. Because God loves. I should love my child. He is bringing some lady and do adultery in my house. And I say, I love him unconditionally. No. That's not God's love. God's love is pure and holy. When God loves you, God wants you to be holy. That's why he loved and he gave his son for us. Unconditionally, he doesn't take anybody to heaven. Take that out of your mind. That God loves us unconditionally. He loved us unconditionally first. I loved you first. So that means he gives his son first. And then he says, now I give my sons. What do you do? Now you receive him. If you don't, you will be condemned. Let's read the St. John chapter 3 and start reading from verse 16. See how it sounds.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
See, whosoever has to believe. Verse 17.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Now he said, I did not send my Son to condemn you. I sent my Son to save you. Okay, verse 18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
See? He said, if you believe in my son, you will not be condemned. But if you deny my son, you are already condemned. Show me now here unconditional love. Is it? No. God sent his son, he loved you, but if you deny his son, there is no unconditional love. There is the death penalty is already condemned, the word of God says. So don't give me that thing, God loves unconditionally, you can do anything, God still loves you. Yes, God wants you to come back. He will be waiting lovingly, kindly to come back. But if you don't, he's not unconditionally taking you to heaven. Okay, let's go back to the 2 Thessalonians, verse 16.
Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all.
Okay. Now he says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Sound like God always gives you peace. Peace doesn't come freely. You have to receive Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. The world do not have peace. Who has the peace? Who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so that peace will abide in you as long as Jesus Christ lives in you. Once you take Jesus out of your life and you go in the world, your life is miserable. You will not have peace. The devil will be tormenting you. And you think, my life is miserable. Once you come back to Jesus, then you'll have peace always. Okay, last two verses, we're going to finish it.
The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Now St. Paul is saying, this letter is written by me. How do you know? He said, you can see my handwriting, my signature. So that means this is my letter. This is not somebody wrote it. I wrote it. And he might be having some kind of style or some signature that is not in our book because we don't have it. But each person, when you write a letter to somebody and they see your signature, each person has different signature. And some people in the olden days, when they used to write some official letter, they would take their thumb, put it in the ink, and then put a mark there. That means that letter or that official letter is only by you. Your fingerprint is nobody's fingerprint. And so your handwriting, there is some special notes, a special sign. So he said, I have written this letter with my own hands. And then he says, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What we need? We need grace of God. For what? To get saved, we need grace of God. To live Christian life, we need grace of God. Going through suffering and problem, you need grace of God. Without grace of God, we cannot survive. You know what the Word of God says? John chapter 1, verse 17. He says, law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was telling you you're guilty and you will be condemned. But Jesus says, O heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. So you come, drop your sin, sickness, disease, and take my peace and live. So Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He took beating on his back, so what? We should not have any back pain, any sickness, any disease. Other day one sister called. And she called and she said, I have so much pain in my stomach. And so her husband said, my wife is having a lot of pain. So I said, okay, put your hand on your stomach. And I prayed. And as soon as I said, do you have pain? Check. She said, no, I don't have pain. It's gone. How much time it took? Split second. Then her husband said, but I have back pain. I said, sister, now God heal you. Put your hand on your husband's back and let's pray. And she put her hand and he is healed. What I'm trying to say, our God is a gracious God, loving God. He wants us to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous in this world. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. So, Lord Jesus, please come, and we are waiting for you. Bless each and everyone who is sitting and standing in this hall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.